Well, we're glad you're all here for our Thanksgiving praise. I want this to be a family praise worship time. And before we do that, obviously Thanksgiving time is a time to give thanks. And we as believers, I believe, have more to be thankful for than anyone else. And I know that I don't say thank you enough. I don't say thank you enough to God, and I don't say thank you enough to those around me. And so before we really get started, I have some things here in the front, and I will tell you they're not used, but they're leftover gifts. When we had our public servants here, six of them said they were going to be here and didn't show up. So this is worth somewhere around $30 or so. And I did write a note inside the book, so you can just cut that page out, whoever gets this. But I thought, you know, how do I get rid of six gifts that I have that are leftovers? They've been in my office and it doesn't look good. And I thought, this is Thanksgiving time. Is there someone that you're thankful for? Maybe for who they are or what they do, other than God the Father. And so I want to get rid of these six gifts. So here's what I'm going to do. So be thinking about this very quickly because we got to get through the service. And here's what I think I would like to try to do. I'm going to ask for you to be thinking, who is a man in this church that serves others and does it well? And you are thankful for that person. It can't be your husband, okay? And it can't be anybody that gets paid. So you can't give all six of them to Pastor Dan or to me or Pastor David or Mark, or even though he played his horn real well, Ben Dolly. Nobody on staff that gets paid to do this, but it's a lay person in this church for whom you're thankful. And in just a moment, I'm going to say, okay, who's that man? And the first one that stands up tells us, I am thankful for, you name the man and you tell why. I don't want a paragraph. I want a sentence. And then I'm going to ask for the woman. And then I'm going to ask for a teenager. And then we're going to go to round two and do the same thing and see if I can get rid of six gifts. Are you ready? I'm looking for a man in our church that you are thankful for and you'd like to nominate him to get a gift. Does anyone have any man here that you're thankful for other than your husband? And who is that person? Oh, and I do have guys here. Supposedly I've got ushers. But you're not an usher, but you get paid for this. Okay, and give this to one on that side, one on this side. There's an usher over there, Ben. All right, very quickly, who's the man that you're thankful for?
Okay, he's on staff, but he did something for me that he didn't get paid for.
You're breaking my first rule. Go ahead.
My carriage. He came out to my house and he put a vapor barrier in our house in our crawl space. So, and did some other insulation with my boys, so I want to nominate him.
Would you please take this and give it to my carriage? Now, are you ready? I'm looking for a lady that you're thankful. She doesn't get paid for doing it. Ready? Is there a lady? Go.
Mrs. Elias.
We need a microphone right there.
I picked Marie Elias. She's just been very helpful for me. I have been without a job for a long time, and both her and her husband have done a lot to help me out, and I really appreciate her.
Mrs. Elias. Okay, would you take that and give that gift? Okay, I don't know. We don't have a lot of them here. Think about it. A teenager that you are thankful for. Is there one?
Nathan Bright.
Here, you want to tell why?
He's just a good guy. And he's a good worker, and he's a good guy. Musician. He's a good worker, and he's a good musician.
Phyllis, do you want to give this to him and say thank you, or do you want Chuck to do it?
Chuck, you can.
All right, Nathan Bright. Now we sit around two. I got rid of three. We'll see if I can get rid of these old leftover things. The idea is we don't say thank you enough, do we, to people around us. I can think of some men here that give and give and give, I'm not talking money, of their time and their energies to this church. I can look over here, I see 3, 4, 5 of them. I look over here, I see the same number. I could name them, but I'm asking you to name them. Okay, here we go. A man. She had her hand up first. She didn't stand first, but I'm going to give her grace because she had knee surgery.
We're we're kindred here, aren't we? Warren Nellis, he's been a blessing in my life, years gone in the previous years. I know at this time we don't hear his voice as often, but I'm sure his heart is still there, and I'm sure he prays for us often. But there were a time when I was in real need, and he just has such a heart for people. It met many needs in my life in recent years.
And I would agree with you. That guy has a heart as big as his whole body. He cares about people, and you're kind of lame. Dave, would you get this to Warren Nellis? Okay, here we go. Last call. Give me a woman in this church that just serves. She doesn't get paid for it. Going once, I'm not going to delay. Going twice, okay. Give her a microphone.
Teresa Warren. I just think about all the times that she's in charge of all the potlucks and organizes for the funeral, and I'm thankful for Teresa.
She is a servant, but you got to be here to get a present. No, you don't. No, you don't. Chuck, would you give this to her, and she's going to get it to Teresa. Okay, is there another, but you got to have a reason why, is there a teenager that you're thankful for what they do here? Going once, going twice, way in the back.
Gabby jumped right up on the first one, but you missed her. She is thankful for Bailey Hunger because she is just a godly teenager who is a young lady who sets a great example for our kiddos in HTP, and we are just extremely grateful for Bailey.
And who is the girl?
That's Gabby. Bailey Hunger.
And that's who's getting the gift?
Yeah.
Where is she? Do you want to give it to her? Here, Chuck, get that to her. I'll get it. Okay. Would you take this and give it to her? Okay. You know what? We want to say thank you. Take that, and you and your mama can give it to Bailey, okay? Let's give those people a hand. Thank you. Been wondering for a month what to do with those gifts. But the truth of the matter is, we don't say thank you enough to those around us. So thank you for helping us with that. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. While you're doing that, everybody should have a handout, Thanksgiving, a time to reflect. That's just yours to take away and to read it. It's a good little article. And I believe that Thanksgiving is a time to reflect. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 16, 34. You're not tired yet. You're not sleeping. I'm not going to make you stand. But do you have that verse? I would like us to read it together out loud. And you might not all have the King James. Just go ahead and read it anyway. But 1 Chronicles 16, 34. Are you ready? I hear the pages still turning. Read it out loud with me, will you please? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is, whoops, hold it. He's what? What's the verse say? Let me ask you a question. When is he good? All the time. Even during your bad times? Even when you don't think he's hearing your prayers? God is only good. There's no sin in him. He cannot sin. I'm not preaching, but let's go on. For his what? What's mercy? Well, that's good. I didn't hear anybody. What's mercy? Holding back punishment when we deserve it or need it. It's not that he gives us something we don't deserve. It's that he what? He doesn't give us what we do deserve. So let's read this verse one more time, starting from the beginning. Here we go. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. In your outline that I gave you, I said during this special time of the year called Thanksgiving, we have much for which we ought to be thankful for. Actually, as believers, we should be more thankful. And I would like us to show our thankfulness tonight, but it's going to be very directed. I've never done this before. That's what I told my Sunday school class this morning, and we did something like this. And my wife doesn't think I can do the same thing tonight, so I won't. But let's look at number one in your outline. God is, I want to look at four attributes of God. And I believe these four attributes of God ought to give you and me all kinds of reasons to be thankful. Thankful. And I'm going to direct you in that path today, and we're going to ask you to tell us how this relates to you and what you're thankful for. Let's look at this first. God is all-powerful. Theologians call that omnipotent. All-powerful simply means this. It's right there in front of you. Nothing is impossible for God. Do you believe that? Three of you did. There is nothing outside the realm of His power. He can do anything He chooses to do, and there are no degrees of difficulty for Him. One thing's not harder than another for Him. He does everything with equal ease. God is all powerful. I could give you 75 verses on this. Here's just three of them quickly. Jeremiah 32:17, there is nothing too hard for you. Matthew 19, with God, all things are possible. Psalm 66, He rules by His what? When? Forever. Now here's my question to you, and I've got two microphones. Again, it can be a word, it can be a sentence. And maybe to speed up, if you got a loud voice, you may not need that mic. Where's my microphones? Are we ready, guys? There's one. There's two. Here we go. How does this apply to your life? The fact that you realize God is all-powerful. How does that impact you? In what areas of our lives is He or has He been all-powerful? How are we thankful for the fact that He's all-powerful? I have answers to that, but I want to hear your answers. God is all-powerful today in our lives. How does that impact you? Think about it. And I gave you four. You could fill it out there. And that's what we did in Sunday school class. We took about 5 minutes and we came up with things and then we discussed it. We don't have time for that tonight. So you may hear something that somebody says you want to write down. Or you write your four things there right now. God is all powerful. How does that impact you and why? What are you thankful for? Who's first? Nobody? We're just going to go on. I got one. Stand right up, face them, and shout it out. Or else come on over here.
That's God's power.
He kept your nephew from dying. All right? The power of God. What else? Wow. The power of God does not impact you in any way. Right back there. Right here.
God's power is manifested every day in the fact that we simply exist. He holds all things together by the word of His power. He spoke it into existence. He keeps it continuing to function. And He will until the day that He decides to set all things right again.
Okay, I saw one in the back.
That He can answer our prayers. We can pray in faith, knowing that He's able to answer them.
Not only can we pray to Him because of His power, we know that He can and will answer them. That's how it impacts us.
Can the mic guy contribute?
I'm a mic. Go ahead.
We hear a lot about climate change, global warming. God's word says there's always going to be four seasons.
Always going to be four seasons through the power of God. We got a season coming upon us tonight, I hear. Go ahead.
We see the power of God regularly in our church and in our community, as thinking of our schools, how every year young people come to know Christ, people in our church come to know Christ, and the power of God to change a heart that we think will never change. So
changes our hearts. The power of God is what changes our hearts. Can you give us more volume on those? I'm having a hard time hearing them. Go ahead.
Through the power of God, I'm assured that my salvation is secure.
Oh. Our salvation is secure. God secures it. Anybody else want to weigh in on that? The power of God, right there.
The power of God helps us overcome strongholds in our lives.
See, up here, maybe I'm just in a wrong spot. Will you say that again? Because I want to hear what you said.
Said the power of God can help us overcome strongholds in our lives.
The power of God can help us overcome lots of things, can't it? The power of God. You know why? Because I'm a lousy sinner and I'm very frail. And I still mess up. And it's the power of God that helps us every day. Amen? Anyone else want to weigh in on that? Right here.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He gives us strength through His power when we need it.
Right. Stay there a minute, Cheryl. When is it that we're lacking strength? When do we need strength? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, I often need strength when I don't know what to do. This summer when my mother was in the hospital and I had to make a decision, I felt so weak and helpless. And that's the verse that came to my mind, is God is a very present help in trouble. And I said, Lord, I am in trouble. I need help. And what had happened was the night before, they told me that she was going to be released from the hospital, but also that she was not listed as an inpatient. She was outpatient. Therefore, Medicare would not pay for the time that she was in the hospital. And I thought, what? I don't know what to do. I was by myself. I didn't know what to do. And so I called Dan and talked to him. That verse came to my mind. The next morning I got to the hospital. The nurse, the lady that was helping me came to me and said, I have good news for you. Your mom was listed as an inpatient last night and Medicare will cover that. So that's an illustration of a very present help in trouble, that I needed God's power and strength.
Amen. Anyone else want, how has the power of God impacted you? How do you relate to that? Anyone else? All right, we're going to move on to number two then. God is all-knowing, which is called by theologians, He's omniscient. That's His omniscience. He's omniscient. What does it mean that God is all-knowing? Simply, that He possesses total, boundless, absolute, universal, unlimited, comprehensive knowledge. He is never, get this, surprised. He instantly and eternally knows every fact about, get this, some of you might think you're this way, He knows every fact about everything. Everywhere. Forever. He knows it completely. There are no surprises to God. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. Now think about it. You can give me one answer or the other, unless you cheat, to the question I'm going to ask you. God knows everything about you. When? All the time. Everything. Everything. He knows everything I do. Everything I did. Teenagers and boys and girls. Everything He knows. Everything we think. Everything we say. He knows everything, everything about you. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Here's my question. For you, for me. Think about it now. Be honest. If He knows everything about me, is that a good thing or a bad thing? How many say that could be a bad thing? Could be. Be honest. Wow, there are four of us here that are bold enough to raise our hands. Cheryl Dickerson's going, How many think it could be a good thing? Why would it be a bad thing? He knows when I sin, doesn't he? He knows my failures. He knows when I mess up. He knows when I'm doing something just for me and not for others, when you don't know that. He knows what comes out of your mouth. He knows what's in your heart. And unless you're different than other people, your heart is desperately wicked, as is mine. He knows my heart. Now tell me, the fact that God knows everything, total, boundless, absolute, universal, unlimited, comprehensive knowledge about you, what has happened and what's going to happen. Now, we got microphones. The question is the same. Here we go. Well, I can tell you in 1 John 3:20, God knows all things. In Acts, known to God from eternity are all his works. He counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. He knows everything. He even counts the number of hair on your heads. Now, for a few of us, that's getting easier for him. A lot easier. Wow. How does this apply now to you? Because God knows everything about you. He knows everything that's going to happen in the whole universe. Why does that give us cause for rejoicing, reflection, and saying, thank you, God, because you knew or you know this, and I praise God for that? Who's first? How does it apply to you?
God's knowing everything assures that Christ's work on the cross was adequate.
That Christ's work on the cross what? I'm sorry.
Was adequate. Because if he didn't, then there would exist that possibility that some way, somehow, I could do something that would not be covered by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
But he does, and it is adequate.
And can't we thank God and praise him tonight for that fact right there? He knows what he did, why he did it, and what the outcome is of his death on the cross.
In praying for my friend Kelly Stinson this year, it's been very emotional at times to sit down and pray for her. And there have been many times because of the type of cancer she has that I just couldn't continue. And I knew that God was interpreting what was in my heart and what the prayer of my heart was as I stood there and asked him or sat there. And, you know, and there were times I was on my knees asking him. And I'm just so excited to know that God knows me. And he knows everything to do with Kelly. And I don't have to worry about it, even though I do choose to do that quite often. And I'm really thankful that his knowledge is much greater than anything I could even pray to have. So.
Okay, amen. Somebody else, think about that. God knows all things about you. What does that mean? How does that impact you? Why is that a wonderful thing?
Well, he also knows that I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. And most of you are too. And we get in situations where we think nobody's watching. You know, we're doing our taxes and we think we can get away with it, or, you know, something that you want, that you want to take, that's not yours, and nobody's watching. But he's always watching, and you know that. And so that helps us to sin less.
Amen. Over here.
The past year and a half or so, we've kind of been in an influx in our family, and we've noticed God just keeps closing the doors for jobs for Matt or for houses when we tried moving closer to church. And I just kept thinking, okay, it doesn't make any sense to us. And just a month or so ago, I found out that my job is being eliminated. But it's kind of been reassuring that God has closed those doors, because we always kind of relied on my job can go anywhere, and so it doesn't matter where we live or what is happening. And so God knew that we needed those doors closed because something else was coming. And so we are hopeful, because he does know everything, that he knows what's going to lie ahead in the next 2 months for us, and we don't have to worry about it.
Thank you for that testimony. Just think about that. Every trial we go through, get this, God knows. Every trial that we're going to be faced with sometime in the future, God already knows. I'd been gone out of state, and I'd been gone a little bit, and so last Monday, I had four or five different people that I went to visit from our church in their homes or the hospital. And when I go into one of those places and one of our people is so discouraged, and this person said, "Where's God? I've been praying and praying and He doesn't answer. Why?" And I said, "You know what? God knows everything. And He knew about this before you did." And Darrell French is here, and I went and visited him in the hospital a little bit ago. And he wasn't doing so well. God knew about that, Darrell, before you knew about it. Thanks to His powerfulness, you're here today. But God knows. Hasn't that impacted you in your life? When you go through a difficulty, and the fact, when you're in the middle of it, you say, "Wait a minute, God knows about this. It took me by surprise, but not Him." Larry Steve, the night before his surgery, I prayed with him on the phone. And I said, "Larry," and we've been going through some attributes like this in our Sunday school. So I said, "Larry, God knew about this. And He's present. He's with you. And His will's going to be done. And yes, I'm praying for a surgery, for a successful surgery, but I'm praying that you will sense the very presence of God because He's there for you. He knew about this. He knows what you're going through." Have you had any trials in your life at all yet? If not, you must be like 1 year old. God knows everything. Is that cause for rejoicing? Anybody else? You want to share an experience or whatever? Who's back there?
I just wanted to say, that He knows your future and what's best for you.
You know, there's a whole message that I have, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he wanted to know one thing. Some people have always got this verse, you know, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on for the things that are to come and whatever. I slaughtered that verse. But the Apostle Paul wanted to find out, "God, why did you apprehend me? Why did you save me?" You know what he's teaching us there as believers? And I've taught this to teenagers forever. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And your goal in life is to find out why He saved you and what is it He wants you to do, and then go do it. That's what Paul wanted. Just today, I'm not making this stuff up. I spent 20 minutes with a teenager in my office. And she said, she goes to a public school, and she said, every girl that I have, every friend, that's what she said, that I have in my group, I'm the only one that's saved. And she said, every one of them are on some kind of drugs for depression. And I said to her, "Do you know the number one leading cause of death with teenagers today? You know what it is, anybody?" And she said to me, "Suicide." And she said, "I got a friend in that group that said, gave me what was going on. She said she's going to commit suicide this week." And I said to her, "Isn't that sad? Being a teenager, you're in the prime of your life. It ought to be the best time of your life. It ought to just be so exciting. And I know it's hard to be a teenager. I used to be one. But God has a plan. He knows your future. Thank you for bringing that up. Your goal is to find out what it is and then do it. Anybody else? How has this impacted you?"
Over here. Am I on?
Yes.
If He knows me completely...
What do you mean, if He knows you?
No, this is a since. Since He knows me completely, since He knows His universe completely, then He's got all the answers right here in this book that I need to know to live on this earth and to know my way to eternity. So that's what impresses me.
Anyone else? Hey, Ted, I can remember when you had a back problem. I can remember when you couldn't work anymore. Did God know that? Yeah. And he was there. It goes on. Anyone else?
Yeah, he knows what's going on right now. The boys, Mike and Daniel, on their way back to Iowa, and they're in the middle of a blizzard.
And he knows that.
Well, and it's easy to think, oh, yeah, I'm going to get sick to my stomach, you know, thinking of your kids. But what Daniel said just before they left, because that was, you know, oh, you guys are going to go into the storm. And he says, you know, God knows. God will get us there safely. And so they're actually looking at getting a motel right now because it's that bad. So, but God knows. And it's just, it's so comforting as a mom and a dad watching your kids go back like that to let go and know that, you know, they're in God's hands.
Did I see one more on this side? Yes.
Yes. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, renewing our minds with the scripture. And when your world falls in a, like walking on glass, it's just breaking. But you can know that God knows. He knows when you let your little child go off with somebody, you don't know what's going to happen. He knows your future. He, like she mentioned, he knows all those things that you lay down in bed with that you are trying to solve and you can't. But he knows it. And he tells us to rest in his arms and he'll hold us there. He knows when, like the snowstorm, he knows that. And it's such a great comfort. And thanks for the reminder to renew our minds in that, in his word. All the answers. Every test, open book. An open book, the Bible. I mean, we have a huge God.
Folks, so far we've talked only about two attributes of God. There are many. One, the fact that he's all-powerful. Other is the one we just discussed, is he knows everything about us before and after it happens, during it happens. Both of those things ought to give us great reassurance that God is a loving God, that he's there, and we can depend on him. Let's all stand up for a moment. Because you've been seated a long time. We have two more attributes to go through, but I want you to stand up. I want you to shake hands with two people and tell them you're thankful for them and then sit down. Now we're going to go to the third one. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. It simply means that God is in control. He's in control of what? He's in charge of everything. When? All the time. That might be hard for us to understand. We just had an election. Was God in control of that? The people I voted for didn't make it. What about this ISIS stuff? What about a missionary that we just had, that we just heard? He was there in Cameroon for all of 2 months. And they shot multiple times in that car and they killed him. And he left 8 children. And you're telling me God's in control? But the Bible says, 1 Chronicles 29:11, thou art exalted as head above all. Psalm 135, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. Psalm 99:1, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. And I added another one in Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means all things is still working together because he controls it. Wow. He is in control of everything. Think of our Heavenly Father. Think about your earthly father. If God's in control of everything, couldn't he give you as a Christian, as a child of his, everything you want? Couldn't he? Then why doesn't he?
I got news for you. As an earthly father, I didn't give my kids everything they wanted. You say, well, you're a bad father. Well, let me tell you this, parents. If you give your kids everything they want, you're not a good parent. Because just because they want it, it doesn't mean that's the best thing for them. Am I right? And the same with our Heavenly Father. But He is in control. So then as we visit people in the hospital or sick or they're discouraged in their home or in the office or a friend of ours or a neighbor of ours and they, you know, a lot of people get bitter against God. Then why do I have cancer? Then why do I have to go for back surgery? It's nowhere near that important. Why did I break an ankle, Darrell, when I wanted to go elk hunting and didn't get to go? I only planned on that trip for 2 years. Was God really in control? Come on. Why'd my foot do that? Anybody have an answer to that? Not only does He know everything, not only is He all-powerful, He's in control of everything. I came down out of that mountain and I told my son-in-law driving me down out of that mountain, Darrell. And I looked at him and I said to him, and every time he hit a bump, my foot hurt because I had a broken leg. And I said to him, I hate the book of James. He looked at me. And I said, I've taught that book for years. Seniors in high school, I hate that book. I'm never teaching that book again. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yeah, right. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will, and it goes on, helps you grow spiritually, makes you more spiritually mature. And I said to him, you know, I got a whole message on that. I used to teach in other churches and to the kids in high school. And I said, you know, when you're going through a trial, we always say, Lord, take this away from me. Lord, why did this happen? We ought to say, Lord, what do you want me to learn through this? This is a test, and I'm going to pass it with the right attitude. Could He allow something to happen in your life so that you could grow spiritually through it? Because He knows all things. God is in control of everything. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, you know, if you're mad at anybody, you ought not be mad at God. You ought to be mad at, and right away she said, Adam. And I said, no, Eve. I said, no, if you're going to be mad at anybody, you ought to be mad at Satan. But because Adam and Eve were enticed because they sinned, now there was a curse on this earth. And part of that curse is cancer. Part of that curse can be a sickness. Part of that curse could be all kinds of things because of sin. And God gave you and I a free will, and a lot of people don't accept it. And this place is cursed. But believe me, God is in control. He's in control of what? Everything. He knows, not only does He know about that job, He's in control. Now, if God's in control of everything in your life, if you personalize that with you in your life right now, at your age, where you're at, God's in control of everything, then how can you praise Him for that? Or, how have you seen that happen this last year? And you say, God's been in control. Who's first? Personalize it.
When you're watching a situation unfold in your life and it's out of your control, naturally you just want to fix it. And I think that's just a human, it's just a human trait. We want to fix, we want to be fixers. But it doesn't matter what you do, you can't fix it. And, you know, it is good to know that God's in control and to hold that constantly in front and have that faith. But also it's sort of freeing to know that God doesn't expect us to fix it. He's in control and He's got the situation, and it's freeing to know that I can't fix it.
Thank you for that testimony. Isn't it something? Some of us think we can control everything. Anybody here, here's a question for you to raise your hand. Anybody here ever experienced something in your life where you personally could not fix it. Can anybody raise your hand along with me? It was beyond me and my wife. But God is in control. One over there.
With the idea of the God is sovereign, I'm reminded of something I heard an old preacher say. And he said that when he gets to heaven, one of the things he wants to ask the Lord is what God spared us from. And it might very well be that day that, you know, our tire went flat or we were stuck in a storm or something, that God was protecting us from something that could have been far worse. We might have been in a head-on collision and killed or been a quadriplegic. And, you know, I was thinking, you said you broke your ankle and you didn't go elk hunting. It might very well have been that God was sparing you from something that might have been far worse. You might have been injured in some way that was even worse. And we only see things from our point of view, but God sees the whole picture. And so I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed at how many times God brought a little thing into our life, relatively speaking, to protect us from something that might have been far worse.
Not just to prepare us, but maybe to protect us. Somebody else, experience. God is in control. And here's why I thank Him, praising. Ben.
I was going through some health stuff, and one of the things that helped me was thinking through, if God is good, and He is all-powerful, and He's the ruler of all things, if He's really in control, He's sovereign, then I have no reason to worry. And Paul takes that a step farther, and he says, in Philippians 4, he says, yes, you can rest in His sovereignty, but also you can rejoice. You can have joy in these hard times, in these times when our patience is being built, when our endurance is being built. He says to rest and rejoice, even though it's difficult, because Amen. Of those first truths. And I think I get in trouble when I try to be in control of the chaotic life that I'm in, right? Like, I can't control everything. I can't even control some things. So it's good for me to walk with open hands instead of looking around and saying, how much can I control? But rather look at Him and say, you're in control. Let me rest and let me rejoice in you.
Amen. Thank you for that. I talked to Sharon Green this week. She's going to have, I think, quadruple bypass surgery. And she said, I'm really nervous. I want to talk to your wife. My wife had triple bypass surgery. So I want to talk to Jeannie. And I said, let me tell you something, Sharon. My wife will tell you this. She didn't stand up and say this. But my wife will tell you this. She was nervous and all scared like anybody else. But she said, the Lord came over her and gave her a peace. She said, when you wheel me out of this room and take me into that surgery room, you're going to have to give me a lot of drugs. But she said, as she was going, the Lord gave her a peace. He was in control. Whichever way she came out of it. And I shared that with Sharon. She said, I got to talk to your wife. No matter what you go through, thank you for the testimony. God's in control. Go ahead. Last one, we're going to go on. We got two. We'll do those, and then we're going to go on to the last one.
You know, Padgett mentioned earlier, and the lady across mentioned about, you know, her job, and we worry. We're in our nature, we worry. We worry about our jobs. We worry about our health. We worry about our kids. Those of you who have teenagers, I'm sure you can relate. You know, you've got a teenager out on a date, and you're up all night worrying because they're not home yet, and you're worried what's going on. And He challenges us to turn it over to Him, that He's in control. So we don't need to worry, because Amen. He is in control.
No matter what life might throw at you, we don't need to worry. He's in control.
I think it's comforting to know that God writes a better story for your life than you could ever imagine. And if you would have told me 5 years ago I'd be working here at this ministry, I would have laughed in your face.
Thanks a lot.
You know, 5 years ago I was working in Pennsylvania in a situation where they told me they couldn't employ me any longer because the school and church had shrunk to a size where they could not financially keep my family on. At the time, we were expecting, Brendan and I were expecting Liam. And so that caused a lot of questions to swirl around in your mind. And you wonder, God, where are you working here? And God knew exactly what he was doing and opened doors in amazing ways that I could never have predicted in myself, and allowed us to move back to Michigan. And we're very thankful for that. And I am always struck with the fact, and I could go back even further and say other things that, for sake of time, I won't, but that God has done in amazing ways through sometimes very, very much heartache. But they've been times that have grown my wife and I greatly. And it was not something that I would have chosen, for sure, in my own, you know, comforts and my own ease and my own way of life. But God knew what was best for me, for my wife, and for our walk. And God has been very gracious to us. And at the same time, we're very thankful to be here and part of this ministry. But it's all been God in his directing, in his guidance. And we're very thankful for that.
Everything that we've had so far, when we get to this about God's in control, I want to end the topic of his sovereignty right now by just reminding you the story of Joseph. Have you ever been to the place in your life so down in a pit of despair or abandonment or forgotten or falsely treated, falsely spoken of? And have you said, God, where are you? You know, I don't find that in that story of Joseph. But you know, God was always there, always working behind the scene. And teenagers, God had a plan for Joseph's life when he was taken out of his home, when he was sold to slaves. God had a plan for him. God is in control. And no matter what you and I go through, even if we get to the place, say, where are you, God? I don't sense it. He's in control. Story of Joseph. Last one tonight. God is a loving God. You know, the Bible doesn't merely say that God is loving. The Bible teaches us much more than that about the love of God. The Bible says God is love. He is love. God is the embodiment of love. He is the personification of love. He's the essence of all that love means. He is love. Wow. Jeremiah 31, he loves us with an everlasting love. Romans 5, 8, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That was his love. 1 John 4, God is love. Let me just say this. God, Jesus, God humbled himself and left his throne because he loved us. He died on the cross because he loved us. He loves us with an everlasting love. There's other verses I could have shown you that he knew you before you were born, and he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He loves with a thing called agape love. And what an interesting study that is. There's 5 or 7 different words love in the Bible. One of them's agape. And you know, when it was written in the original, there was no word agape. They had to come up with a word for it to define this kind of love. And so they came up with this word agape love. And it means that he loves us expecting nothing back in return. All you ladies, wouldn't you love it if your husband always loved you with agape love? Just because he loves you. Doesn't matter how you treat him. Ever. He loves you. And we could flip-flop that with the men and the women. He also loves us unconditionally. It doesn't matter how bad I am today, he still loves me. It doesn't matter what I do or say, he still loves me. Wow. He loves us forgivingly. He loves us for who we are. We don't have to pretend to be somebody we're not. God loves us. Last time for you to weigh in tonight. Because God loves you with an everlasting, eternal, unconditional, accepting you where you are, when you are, what you do. He loves you. So much so, he'll never leave you. He's always there for you because he loves you. How does that impact your life? And how can you praise him tonight? I appreciate the love God has for me because. Last one. One and back. Where's my microphone, guys? There's one in back. Do I have any others? Get ready. We'll get a mic to you. I'm thankful to God for his love. Why?
I'm just thankful that God's love is not the way I love. So many times I have a checklist throughout the day of things I need to get done or throughout life, and I don't measure up to my expectations. And there's times I get down on myself, and it's when you go to the Word of God and you see, you know what? He loves me no matter what. He knows that I am but dust, and he still loves me. And he separates me as far from my sin as he can. And I'm just so thankful that his love is not mine.
Thank you for that. How does it impact you to know that God loves you this way? How does that impact you? How does that make you feel? Right next to you, Chuck.
A lot of times it's really easy to get caught up in how I feel and how things around me are making me feel and stuff like that. And it's really easy to discard what I know about God in those moments and to be able to look back on it clear-minded and say, yeah, he was there the whole time and he was watching over me the whole time, and I see how his hand worked during that time is really amazing to me. Even when, like you said, I can't feel his love, it's really baffling to know that it's still there.
Just think one day we're going to be with him. Are you going to thank him for his love? Think about it. One day we're going to be there, aren't we? Thank you, Lord, for the way you love me. I'm such a lousy guy. Go ahead.
And knowing God's love and how much he loves us, it makes me able to love those who aren't lovable. I was doing a Bible study, and it said in there, how can you hold your love from others when God didn't hold his love from you?
Amen.
And so that it convicts me to love those who are unlovable. And that includes people that are in my family, maybe, you know, and outside. So I'm just very grateful for God's love, that he loves me.
Amen. You know, you are so biblical. You can put a verse alongside of that, Romans 5:5. In Romans 5:8, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, in your heart. God is love. Where is God today? God, the Holy Spirit, is indwelling believers. God has given us, his love is in us. And you know what he's teaching us in Romans? Because God's essence of his love is within us, it makes it possible for we as believers to love those around us, even those that are unlovely, as God does. We have the love of God within us. Biblical message you just preached. Another one. Not if you can get Dave to you.
Just to springboard off what she was saying, it's convicting to know that God loves me when I'm the unlovable one.
I'm also really thankful for God's love because it removes all fear. Fear of God's rejection. Christ has removed that fear in his love and what he did on the cross. Fear of what other people could do to me. Fear of what the future holds. All because God is love and he's sovereign in that love.
Amen.
I think that as we consider all of the attributes, his love reminds us that he, like as us as parents try to do, we want what's best for our children.
And God wants what's best for us, and so I can take comfort in that. But then even more than that, his knowledge is infinite. We talked about that. And so I, as a parent, want what's best for my kids, but I don't always know what's best for my kids. And God doesn't just want what's best for me. He actually knows what's best for me. And then even after that, we talked about already God's power and his sovereignty. So God is able to actually bring about what's best for me in his perfect plan. And so for me, the love of God's where it starts, because it's the foundation that I know he wants what's very best. But he's not limited in his knowledge or ability to bring about his very best in my life. So I can trust him. If I trusted God because he loved me, that would be great. But I just wish he knew and could do something about it. But I have a God who not only loves me, but he knows what's best and he wants what's best and he can bring it about. And as we talk about all the things we go through that are difficult in life, I can trust God because he has given us the end of the story in Scripture. And so the answer to the question about why, we don't know in the specifics, but we know in the broad picture, the answer is just not yet. That God will one day take care of cancer, and God will one day take care of all sorrow and all heartache and all sin. It's just a matter of the timeline, and it's a matter of yet, because I've read the rest of the story. And God's the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. And on the cross of Calvary, he's won the victory, and someday we're going to watch that new heaven and that new earth, and it's all going to be fulfilled. Why? Because he loves us, and because he's sovereign, and he's going to work out his plan perfectly, and I look forward to that day.
Amen. I wanted this to be a family time. I gave you this kind of this semi-outline. I didn't leave any blanks in it except how it applies to you. I actually wanted you to be able to take this home. And couldn't you have a little discussion with your family about the fact that God's all-powerful and what that means to each one of us in our position in the family, and the fact that God knows everything and what that means, and the fact that God is in control and the fact that he loves us. We have a lot to be thankful for, and you parents have something in your hands that you can pass on, discuss, and pass on with your children. And I hope this was meaningful. I've never run a service this way before. But folks, we have a lot for which we ought to be thankful for a holy, righteous, loving God. I'm glad you were here. Thank you for your testimonies. Very pointed tonight. It wasn't just letting you get up and just share what you wanted to share, but it was a focus on God and for things that we ought to be thankful for.